O Holy Spirit of God, help us to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. What do you do after you have seen the glory of God? Just last weekend was Groundhog's Day on Saturday, which is also every year the feast of the presentation of Jesus in the temple, or as some of us know it in our Anglican tradition, also Candlemas. And on that day, we read the story of Anna and Simeon in the temple. Anna, who was a prophet, who had been living in the temple for years and years, and Simeon also waiting to see the Messiah. And when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into the temple for the first time, Anna and Simeon, wise elders of Israel, saw the glory of God in the infant Jesus. They recognized the Messiah. And Simeon spoke or sang the words that we are familiar with now in our tradition from Compline called the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Moses saw the glory of God on Mount Sinai. And when he came down the mountain, the Israelites were afraid because they saw his face shining back to them, the glory of God. And so Moses had to put a veil over his face so the people would not be afraid. And Peter, James, and John saw the glory of God in Jesus on the mountain. Jesus often went apart by himself to pray, but this day he invited Peter and James and John to go with him. I wonder what they were thinking. This was no ordinary prayer session. Jesus was transformed, transfigured before their eyes. They saw the very glory of God in Jesus' shining form on the mountain. It was as if they finally saw Jesus as who he really was, divinity in human form. This was all a bit much for them. Peter began to babble, as some people do when they're anxious or frightened or excited. But before he could finish, the voice of God thundered out of this cloud that had enveloped them. "This is my son. Listen to him." It was all too much for the disciples. They fell to the ground in fear. And then Jesus touched them. Jesus reminded them that he was still there. He was real and he was with them, and they did not need to be afraid. Then Jesus did something that seems very strange. He told them not to tell anyone about that experience until after he was raised from the dead. Now, the disciples may not have said anything to the other disciples, but I can't imagine that their faces would not have been shining, because they had seen the glory of God. how could they hide that from the other disciples? I think sometimes it's difficult for us, at least for me, to relate to the transfiguration, particularly if we have not had a mountaintop experience ourselves. Well, the good news is that our faith is not dependent upon mountaintop experiences. Remember that only three of the 12 disciples were with Jesus that day on the mountain. And I know many, many faithful people who admit to have never had one experience that was that profound. And that is all right. God speaks to each one of us as individuals, and as we are ready to hear and see, God shows to each one of us the things that we are ready to see. And it remains a mystery as to why our experiences of God are often so different from one another's. Saints in our tradition, such as Teresa of Avila and more recently Mother Teresa, wrote of their longing for a mountaintop experience, for one more powerful experience of God, but they did not have them. And they went right on doing their good works day after day for years and years without one. Most of us in this life are given just a glimpse of the glory of God. An exquisite piece of music or art can sometimes serve as an icon pointing us to God and the glory of God. The majesty and beauty of creation can speak of God's glory to us. Often, though, it is in and through other people that we see the glory of God revealed. Saint Irenaeus, a second century theologian, said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." The glory of God is a human being fully alive. Matthew Sanford is a yoga teacher, now probably in his late 40s. And of course, that alone would not be a remarkable thing at all. But Matthew has been paralyzed from the waist down since he was 13. At age 13, he was in a horrible car accident with his parents on an icy road, and his back was broken, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. And so he, in his book called Waking, he writes the story of his coming back to his fullness of life. And he spent the years and years learning to reconnect with his whole body, the part that he is able to move with nerve and muscle, and the part that he's still unable to move. But he teaches yoga to people with disabilities and also to able-bodied people. And in his book, he tells the story of a student of his named Chris, who has cerebral palsy. Chris has been studying with Matthew for about 8 years. Chris uses a wheelchair most of the time, and he does not have much control at all with his arms, but he can stand for brief periods of time. And so in the past, Chris would often fall during his daily activities, and when he fell, he would injure himself, and sometimes badly. But thanks to his study and his connection with Matthew, Chris has learned how to fall gracefully. He's learned how to fall without injuring himself. It may seem like a small thing, but to Chris, it is everything. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. We are called by God to become fully alive. We are called to let the light of Christ shine through us. We are called to welcome the Holy Spirit at work within us. And sometimes, like Matthew, that means that we need to offer up our own woundedness to God in order that we might bring healing to others. Because sometimes it is in our weakness and our vulnerability that the seeds of our greatest strength lie. To be a wounded healer like Matthew is to be fully alive. We are about to enter the season of Lent. We will sing and say our last Alleluias today for quite a while. And what better work for us in Lent than to pray to God to transform our weakness into strength, to help us become masters of ourselves that we might become the servants of others. Most of us in this life are given just a glimpse of the glory of God, and that is enough. It is enough because we know that Jesus is with us when we fall. Whether we fall to the ground in fear or through failure or because of physical weakness, Jesus is there with us, a light in our darkness, to help us back to our feet and call us home. Amen.